The Bears yesterday beat the Detroit Lions 20-13 to get their fourth victory of the season to go 4-5. Every Monday here on the program, we do a deep dive on what we saw yesterday. Of course, at Soldier Field with the victory. Adam Hogue covers the Bears. He was there, of course. He covers the Bears for WGN. You can find all that information at wgnradio.com/bears, and he's on the line now. John, what's up, buddy? Is it a victory? Is it a victory?
It is a victory. It is, Justin. I think I really want to emphasize this to Bears fans. I mean, just savor it as much as you can. I know it wasn't pretty, but were you really expecting domination with what you've seen from this team so far? I mean, honestly, for this team right now, they just needed a win no matter what it looked like, and they needed to take some positive steps forward. And we can at least come out of this game saying they did that. It wasn't pretty. Certainly, I mean, when you start the game with three and outs out of four drives, and then you end the game with 4-3 and outs out of five drives, that's not good. But in the middle there, there at least was a mini explosion of offense, and they were able to put some points on the board.
Yeah, well, we're going to get into this in this hour. 312-981-7200, if you've got calls, comments, texts, whatever you want to get into this conversation. You know, I think it has to do with expectations. I don't know what happened in the last couple. Obviously, in the losing streak, fans have gotten disinterested or have seen this offense and said this is not an NFL-style offense. So to watch the game unfold the way it did, even as they were winning, you didn't have that same excitement. I can only speak for myself, but watching the game on the couch, I was just like, meh. Every time there even a touchdown, I'm like, meh. And I don't know if that's going to – I guess the only way that we get over that is by just getting on a winning streak, right?
Yeah, getting on a winning streak and Mitch Trubisky kind of stacking some performances, which he's really failed to do for the most part, not only obviously this season. I mean, I didn't have him for a positive grade until this game against the Lions. This was clearly his best game of the season. But even if you go back to last year, you know, it was a bit of a roller coaster. Up 1 week, down the next, up 1 week, down the next. I think the fans right now, and the Bears too, I mean, if you're evaluating your own quarterback right now, they need to see this kid stack together some good performances. And it's nice to see him stack a few drives together. And I actually agree with what Matt Nagy said today at his press conference at Hallis Hall, and that, you know, he almost seemed surprised by this. But when he went back and watched the tape, he really didn't find much to blame on Mitch Trubisky, even early when they weren't moving the football, and late when they weren't really moving the football. And I have to agree, a lot of those mistakes yesterday that stalled those drives had nothing to do with Mitch. You know, there was drops, there was penalties by other players, missed blocks, things like that. There was only maybe one or two throws the entire game that I think Mitch really wanted back, and every quarterback's going to have one or two game. What he's got to avoid is one, missing the layups, as Mark Helfrich, the offensive coordinator, calls him, and that touchdown throw to Taylor Gabriel was one of those plays that we have been talking about for weeks, where they rep it all week, and they always come back, they always come to the podium after the game, and like, man, he hit that all week in practice, but he missed it in the game. Like, how many times has that happened this season?
Right.
Well, in this game, he made that throw. So this was a performance to build on. I realize it wasn't pretty, but I think Bears fans should just be so happy this team won a game because they really, really, really needed a win just to get some good vibes.
All right, so let's take our break here because we'll get back and we'll get into Trubisky. And more importantly, I think for Bears fans, Matt Nagy and how he's calling these games, because the offense was, again, unbalanced. Like you said at the beginning, nothing. At the end, nothing. And in between, again, sort of felt like he was pounding the table saying, run the ball, when instead, with a lead, throwing the ball all over the place. We'll talk about Matt Nagy's performance calling plays, the rest of the offense, and get to the defense as well. The Monday evening quarterback, 312-981-7200, Adam Hogue here, so stay with us. 312-981-7200. It is the Monday evening quarterback, Adam Hogue, with us. He covers the Bears for WGN Radio, wgnradio.com/bears. Let's talk about the offensive performance. We saw Mitch Trubisky have some glimpses of hope, or at least he earned another start in Chicago. I'm sorry, so down, Adam. But Matt Nagy, let's get into this, because we saw a team that struggled to move the ball, and then we also saw glimpses of this high-flying Matt Nagy offense that we were promised. And then we saw, again, this fourth quarter kind of meltdown. What grade do you give Matt Nagy for calling plays yesterday?
You know, I didn't have too big of a problem with his play calling, at least. You know, overall, they were actually pretty balanced. They had 20 Technically 21 rushes in the game if you take out Mitch Trubisky's runs. 24 runs overall if you want to include Mitch. If you boil it down to just handoffs to the running backs, it's actually 20. But Mitch attempted to throw 23 times. So and there were some sacks in there too. So it probably just barely skewed to the passing side of things. But for the most part, I mean, especially for Matt Nagy, mostly balanced. I thought, you know, late in the game, it's funny. I know some people are like frustrated that they threw the ball too much late, and then yesterday on the postgame show, Hamp was actually upset and asking me why they didn't throw the ball more. So I think people right now are just kind of have a short fuse when it comes to Matt Nagy's play calling, and I get it. I mean, there's certainly been moments this season where you can question things, but, you know, when you're only getting 1 yard on first down when you're trying to run the ball, that puts you in passing downs, and again, that happened on the Bears' last, let's see, I think these are the last two drives of the game. On first down, they run the ball for 1 yard. First down, they run the ball for 1 yard. Unfortunately, you need to pick up more than that on first down.
And so let's talk about the offensive line. There was a big to-do about the switch to move James Daniels and Cody Whitehair. Whitehair under center now. What's happening with that offensive line? Dan Fouts, who I usually do not like, and he actually called a pretty good game. Him and Ian Eagle, they did better than I've ever expected them to do. But they talked about this offensive line was getting zero push at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a great game overall for the offensive line. They need to do better. What I did think, though, is you know, Mitch played better behind that offensive line that struggled. And the communication did seem to be better. And that, and I had some pointed questions for Nagy today about this switch and really trying to pinpoint why they felt like they had to do it. Because, look, you saw at least three bad snaps from Cody Whitehair in this game. And Cody Whitehair's had that problem in the past. And they knew that coming in. And I brought that up to Matt today. I said, look, you knew he had problems snapping the ball. What were you weighing between the risk of bad snaps versus what you obviously thought would be a plus to having him under center? And it comes down to communication. There's obviously a chemistry and a better communication level that they trust with Cody Whitehair and Mitch Trubisky, you know, as the battery, the center quarterback battery. And then I also thought Nagy brought up a good point. You have two young guys in there right now with James Daniels, who's in his second year, and Rashad Coward, who's in his first year actually playing as an NFL player. And so they felt like it made more sense to put Cody Whitehair in the middle of those two younger players instead of having those two guys next to each other. So it's kind of a weird thing to say that I thought the communication was better. I thought the center switch worked, even though the offensive line didn't play that well.
Well, the one thing we have to recognize, too, is that the defensive unit for the Detroit Lions is poor. I mean, they're one of the worst in the league, and they seem to have their way with the Bears' offensive line, whether that was in pass protection or rushing the passer or stopping the run. There are some teams coming up here, including the Rams with Aaron Donald, the defensive player of the year, all that coming up that is going to test this, everything you're talking about, communication, this offensive line actually functioning, that scares Bears fans.
Yeah, and it's completely fair. And look, the Bears have been through a kind of a tough stretch recently before this game of some tough defenses that they played. And this was an opportunity against the Lions that we all felt like this week they needed to take advantage of, and they sort of did. I mean, right? They finally put up three touchdowns. They did it on three straight drives. But you know, right now the only two big explosions of offense this season have come against Washington, which is an awful team, and the Lions, which has a pretty awful defense. So that's where I go back to Mitch Trubisky and this offense needs to prove it against better teams, and those opportunities are coming.
We saw Ben Bronecker catch his pass, which was a touchdown pass, a beautiful catch in the end zone, and it was nice to see, but it also reminded us that the Bears do have tight ends. We've not seen Trey Burton. Adam Shaheen was a healthy scratch. This, I mean, the more you look at it, you're like, boy, oh boy. Last year, it seemed like Trubisky was looking for the tight end. This year, I would have no problem with if on Sunday they're like, you know what, we cut Trey Burton. Like, that's where we're at right now, where he just has no impact whatsoever on the game.
Yeah, I mean, look, with Trey, we do need to be fair. He's been battling an injury all season with this groin, and then you add a calf to it. And I get it. Fans are frustrated, but, you know, as a reporter covering this team, I'm never going to start saying guys should be losing their jobs because
okay.
they're playing.
That's my job, right.
they're playing hurt. But I also understand why fans are upset, though. The Bears paid him a lot of money, and he did appear to be a key part of this offense last year. And Matt Nagy's talked about the importance of what they call the U tight end in their offense. He's the adjuster. He's the one that's supposed to be creating mismatches across the offense. And I think that that's really been a huge storyline this season. Not getting production from such an important position in Matt Nagy's scheme is a big reason why A, Mitch Trubisky's struggling, and B, why there's not been a whole lot of production offensively. So it is a story, but I do think we also need to point out the injury. Now, other players like Adam Shaheen, he's a second round pick, and he just got benched. And he doesn't look like he's going to be a very good player in the NFL. Now, he may end up back in there next week because Trey Burton's hurt. And Ben Broniker, look, outstanding catch. It was great. And I don't think Adam Shaheen could have run that route. I'm not sure Trey Burton could have run that route right now with the injuries he's battling. So you give him credit. But he's also been in the league for a long time and has had some struggles at tight end when he's had to be in there. So I'm not necessarily sold on Ben Broniker, you know. Yeah. Look, remember, the Lions didn't know the Bears were going to make that switch. They didn't know Adam Shaheen was going to be inactive, and that probably caught them off guard a little bit.
Yeah. Let's talk about the wide receivers before we take our break here. Allen Robinson continues to be the only name that people are thinking about when it comes to giving postseason honors, Pro Bowl specifically. I mean, he catches everything that comes his way. We're seeing more out of Taylor Gabriel, which is great. I mean, he had the big game against Washington, and now we're seeing more out of him. Are the wide receivers living up to the expectation that we had for them at the beginning of the year?
Well, you know, Taylor Gabriel caught 66 passes last year. People forget that. He was very productive. He had a breakout season for his career arc. And, you know, there's really been nothing this year other than some drops here and there. And there was a big drop yesterday. One of the reasons why the Bears had a 3-and-out. It wasn't Mitch's fault. He put the ball right there and number 18 dropped it. So, To be fully honest, I think the answer to your question is no. I think overall the wide receivers have not done enough. And I'm excluding Allen Robinson from that because he's been outstanding and right now should go to the Pro Bowl. But the rest of them, Anthony Miller hasn't taken a step forward. But I think what's hard to evaluate here is the quarterback play has been so poor overall that it's also really hard for me to just be like, oh, these wide receivers aren't doing their jobs. It's one of those situations where there's been so much bad on offense this season that it kind of makes it hard to know where to always put the blame, even as I'm breaking down the tape.
Yeah, and it's hard. You're absolutely right because, you know, I think I read somewhere that the Bears are at the top of the division or a league when it comes to drop passes. And
yep.
And obviously the offensive line play, they can't run the ball. So when it's all dysfunctional, it's dysfunctional. Adam Hogue is my guest, the Monday evening quarterback. 312-981-7200. We come back, we'll talk about this Bears defense that yesterday was surprised with a backup quarterback and didn't get the job done, even though they got the win. They did not look like the dominant monsters of the Midway that we expect. But Adam Hogue will break it down right after the break here on 720 WGN. First down, second down, third down. It's the Monday evening quarterback here on 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman with you. Adam Hogue as well covers the Bears. WGNradio.com/Bears. We're talking about the victory yesterday at Soldier Field against the Detroit Lions. The 4-5 Chicago Bears head to Los Angeles for Sunday Night Football. We'll talk about that as well. All right, Adam, let's talk about the defense. We covered the offense. The defensive performance was less to be desired. And again, I wonder about expectations because at the end of the day, this team only gave up 13 points and we won the game. But it didn't seem like a dominant performance from a team that, or at least a unit that we expected to be dominant.
Yeah, and it's worth pointing out the Lions' only touchdown came on a play where Aaron Lynch should have sacked the quarterback and Kyle Fuller fell down.
Yeah, right.
Those are still two missed opportunities that happened on the play. So, I mean, it certainly counts, but those are plays that you usually expect to be made. Right now, they're not being made, and I think it's fair to point out that even though they only give up 13 points, in the fourth quarter, this defense has just not been that shutdown unit.
Right.
And so you didn't feel great when the Lions still had the ball in their hands, even though they have a backup quarterback out there. It's not like it used to feel when the Bears were always going to shut down the opposing team and get the W, and that's just the reality right now. I do think everyone needs to sort of reset expectations, though. Akeem Hicks is not out there. Now it looks like Danny Trevathan's not going to be out there for a long time, if not the whole season. And they're not getting the same amount of takeaways. I want to talk about the pass rush here in a second and Khalil Mack, but right now they're not creating enough pressure. They're not getting enough takeaways compared to last year. And that's why last year, I don't want to call it anomaly because they were so good and they deserve all the credit, but to get that many takeaways, 36 in one season, it just, you can't think that that's sustainable, and right now you're seeing a unit that's just not as great. So if you can get out of a game, and by the way, the Lions have a good offense. I realize Stafford wasn't out there, but they do have a good offense, and you held them to 13 points. That you should still feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, and it's not unlike the offense. It feels like when one part of this defense is not working, then the secondary starts to fall apart, and we start to get penalties all over the field. And it feels like it all starts with this Bears unit on the pass rush. They were able to, obviously, with Khalil Mack and Hicks last year, and Leonard Floyd, that we were able to generate pass rush without blitzing, and that meant that there were guys back there ready to ball hawk. Doesn't seem to be the case this year, especially yesterday. I don't know if I heard Khalil Mack's name get called except for a couple holding penalties.
Yeah, look, Khalil Mack was probably the best defensive player in football the first quarter of the season. He had 4 forced fumbles. He was getting to the quarterback. He was piling up the sacks. And now all of a sudden he only has 1 sack in his last 5 games.
That's crazy.
It is crazy, but it's also significant that who has been missing for the last 5
years? Yeah, Akeem Hicks, right?
Akeem Hicks has, and that's just part of the reality. But we are at the point, and I was trying to be patient because Khalil Mack's obviously such a good, dominant player that it's one of those guys you want to give the benefit of the doubt for a few weeks before you really are like, okay, what's going on here? So today, and I will have this written up at some point, hopefully in the next 24 hours, with some more conclusions on what's going on with Khalil Mack, but I did chart his entire game today, going back and rewatching it. And I just, to give you a sample, like we could just, I'm not going to, he was on the field for 71 plays, so obviously I can't go through all of it, but like just the first drive, for instance, okay, the different ways teams are attacking Khalil Mack, it's actually very impressive. First play of the game, Lions left him unblocked. Unblocked Khalil Mack. Hmm. And they did it on purpose. And guess what? He actually could have made the tackle on a run, and he missed a tackle. So not a great start for Khalil Mack. But then the next play, they cut him. They throw to the opposite side. That's going to be a theme. Next play, they double team him. Obviously, Khalil Mack faces a lot of double teams, but he's not actually getting doubled as much as you think. But then you go to the next two plays. They run to the opposite side. In those situations, they can single block him and just move the ball away from him. It's a combination of different things, like they'll leave him unblocked, and then they'll run a bootleg backwards, or they'll double team him. Sometimes they'll triple team him. Sometimes they'll just one-on-one and take their chances. But I think the Raiders were actually the team that really delivered the blueprint, and that if you're varying up what you're doing to him, you're not only making him guess, and you're making it harder for him to get in a rhythm as a pass rusher, but you're making Chuck Pagano guess a little bit more too as the play caller.
Yeah, but I have to ask the question, because it's 11, last time I checked, there's 11 defenders. There are, if Khalil Mack is if they're running to the opposite side, is it on the defensive coordinators, on the other players, to recognize that they will have an advantage because of the fact that they were moving away from Khalil Mack or putting extra blockers on Khalil Mack? It just seems to me that it can't just be, Khalil Mack didn't make a play, so this defense is lost. I mean, there are other players on the squad that are all pro. They should be stepping up in his while the offensive coordinators are focusing on Mack, right?
Well, the one thing I'll say, and this is just one game of a sample size that I've charted here, but there are very few tendencies. And so by tendencies, you mean, you know, is there a common theme? Are they doing a certain thing on a certain down? Or, you know, that the Bears do so much research, and that's why you have, you know, quality control guys on your staff to do the research in these situations, to give Pagano a better idea of what to call. And there really is not a whole lot of tendency. The only one I can find at all in this game is that in third and obvious passing situations, they would almost always double team him. Hmm. And there was a moment late in the game where I'm not entirely sure if it was on a third down, but they lined up, and it looked pretty obvious that Khalil Mack was going to get double-teamed, and Pagano blitzed Nick Kwiatkowski, like, almost right to that double-team, and it caught the tight end there in a bind. He didn't know which way to go, and Kwiatkowski came through clean. That's the kind of stuff you need to do if your star player is getting all the attention. Right. Or, like you said, if they're running away from him, then you got to overload the other side. So come up with different things, and I know right now this is what the Bears are trying to do, especially when you don't have Keem Hicks in the middle.
With Nick Kwiatkowski, you know, a backup who came in for Danny Trevathan, second, obviously he spelled Roquan Smith against the Vikings. We have seen him play defensive football. I mean, really, he doesn't look like a backup. He looks like an all-pro. Is that because teams aren't recognized? They didn't game plan for him? Are they using Nick Kwiatkowski in a different way? Obviously, he called plays because Trevathan was out, but again, he's coming clean to the quarterback, where I haven't seen Trevathan and Roquan Smith in the last couple weeks come clean on anything.
Yeah, first of all, fair point, and it's a great question that unfortunately we're not going to be able to know until they line up against the Rams on Sunday night, because Kwiatkowski in the two games he's played, both of them have been in relief. Interesting enough, and this is why I think you love Nick Kwiatkowski as a bench player, as your third inside linebacker, because he came in for Roquan Smith on short notice when Roquan was inactive because of personal reasons, and he played Roquan's position, which is different than Danny Trevathan's position. Danny calls the defense on the field. He has the headset in his helmet, so they obviously trusted him yesterday that when Danny Trevathan went out, he went right in there. He knows the defense. The communication looked great. In fact, it actually looked better than it did earlier in the game when I thought they were having some communications out there defensively. So he's just one of those players you trust. Does he have any limitations? Well, first of all, he's great against the run. He's a great tackler, and he's showing a knack for blitzing, which is really impressive. He's not as fast, though, as Danny Trevathan and Roquan Smith. So when he's talk about scheming for him, I will be very surprised if the Rams don't try to match him up in some coverage situations where they force him to cover a tight end who might be faster than him, maybe bigger than him, and put him in a bind. But Nick Kwiatkowski could start for a lot of teams in the NFL, and he's got a chance here in these final games to earn a big paycheck. Whether that's with the Bears or a different team, he's got a chance to prove he can start for a good defense, and if he can do it over the rest of the season, he's going to get paid.
All right, we'll come back here Monday evening, quarterback, 312-981-7200. A lot of questions about Mitch Trubisky. We'll get to them. But we'll come back, and we'll talk about some of the other little plays and moments in the game that we haven't gotten to about yesterday's win against the Lions at Soldier Field. Adam Hoge here, Monday evening quarterback. Stay with us. The Monday evening quarterback here on 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman with you, along with Adam Hoge, WGNRadio.com/Bears for all of his work. He covers the Bears for WGN Radio. He's our Bears insider. All right. You know, you mentioned earlier in this segment just about the idea of the fourth quarter defense. And football is, you know, they always make these cliches about a game of inches and all this stuff. But it seems more and more in the football in 2019, you're seeing that teams make their money on what they do in the fourth quarter. And I'm a little bit worried about the Chicago Bears in the fourth quarter. And it's not just the defense. The offense, they look terrible. I mean, three and out, three and out, three and out. Sacks at the worst times. Throwing the ball instead of running the clock. The play calling was suspect. A punter had a pretty good game until he needed to make a punt. And then he kicked a 38-yard kick when it counted at the end. I mean, we won that game because of a backup quarterback didn't make a throw to the end zone on the last play of the game. It just seems like there's something wrong with the DNA of this squad that they're not making plays in the fourth quarter.
Well, specifically when it comes to that, I think that for all teams, teams that close out games and play well in the fourth quarter are teams that are used to doing it, that have, you know, learned how to win. Now, this team should know how to do that. They did it a lot last year. They knew how to play with leads. And they would just shut teams down once they got a lead. That was a big theme, especially in the second half of the season. Now, starting with the playoff game against the Eagles, that kind of just started to change. And you have to wonder if, you know, just the hurt and the pain of that loss and giving up a touchdown the way they did to Nick Foles, it seems to have just carried over into the season. And they have not found ways to win games. So I think right now is, again, it kind of goes back to how we started the hour. I understand the concerns. They're legit. But this team is slowly, I think, trying to learn how to win again. They just lost four straight games. Yeah. So I'm not entirely surprised that things got a little dicey there in the fourth quarter yesterday. But they did find a way to get the victory. Now you need to build on that. If the Bears can come out, put up some points against the Rams, get a lead. Remember, that's how they beat the Rams last year in Chicago. And by the way, the Rams, obviously the Bears too, both of these teams were better last year than they are right now. But this is a winnable game for the Bears.
Yeah, and it is interesting. This football season is not just futility in Chicago. I mean, you're seeing the Kansas City Chiefs at 5-4. You're seeing the Rams, as we just talked about, having a kind of mediocre season. The Dallas Cowboys we saw losing against Minnesota. So there's a lot of teams that had high expectations that aren't coming through. The only problem I have, and I really want to accept this Bears team, is that last year we kind of saw a lot of their success come way too early. Matt Nagy was our first year coach where we watched them win games in the middle of the year where you're like, wow, we might go to the Super Bowl. And then watching what happened in the playoff game and watching what's happening this year is just, I think a lot of the fan base right now is a little bit lost about what we have. Lost about if this is a good team, a mediocre team, a bad team. We just don't know because it seems to be, I don't know if we're getting to the median, like it's all kind of averaging out like a second quarter grade.
You know what the great thing about the NFL is? It's the parity is just, it's better than any other league that there is. And sure enough, there's obviously a couple outliers, the Patriots being the most obvious one. And then on the other end, the Dolphins and the Jets right now are pretty bad, but they're kind of tanking. For the most part, though, there's not a lot that separates these teams. So when you get into some of these, that's why we talk so much about the schedule and the advantages of having a last place schedule. It's actually only two games of your entire season that are really determined by what place you finish in. But those two games, that's still a big percentage of the entire season, and it makes a big difference over the course of a season, especially like when your team like the Bears last year that felt like they were almost there and they got some confidence and they started believing in each other and they were getting the takeaways they were getting from their defense. Maybe some of it was fool's gold to a point, but to answer your question, I still think this team is better than their record. Maybe they weren't as good as their record last year. Maybe they weren't that good. Maybe they aren't really a Super Bowl contender. But you're seeing it right now with the team playing literally this second, the San Francisco 49ers. They're kind of last year's Bears.
Yeah, I know.
They're a young team that are finally clicking. I don't think they're necessarily an 8-0 team, but they could go 9-0 tonight because they're just believing in each other. They found ways to win.
All right, so this is I didn't see this played out that much, and it kind of grabbed my attention. But Tariq Cohen scored the touchdown, and he waltzes into the end zone. It was a big play. Finally, a play for this offense. It felt like we're gonna have another situation where we weren't gonna score any points, like that kind of thing. And instead of him doing a Lambeau leap or celebrating with his teammates, he puts his finger to his face mask as in a shh, like you're on the road when you're trying to quiet a hostile crowd. He was doing it to his own home crowd. He was telling the Soldier Field audience to knock it off, or to, you know what, I you know what, haters are going to hate. It's a really toxic way to look at the way that the Chicago Bears fans and the Chicago Bears players are going about it. Is there anything to take away from that? I've never seen that, where a player actually tells his home crowd to shut up.
Yeah, well, look, I didn't get a chance to talk to Tariq in the locker room right after the game. I can circle back with him tomorrow at House Hall, but either two things happen. One is he just, in the excitement of scoring, that's his first touchdown of the year, right?
He might have had one at some point. Yeah, regardless, first or second, yeah.
He's had a tough year. Scores a touchdown, possible in the excitement he kind of forgot where he was.
Playing at Soldier Field.
That shush like celebration is a little overplayed to begin with, so right. It may have just been something he did. To answer your theory, though, and it's also possible that that's what happened, is he just kind of fed up with the booing, and there has been a lot of booing. Look, the obvious downside of that is the boos have been deserved, and there's been so little production, and it's looked so bad that the fans have a right to boo. I don't necessarily like it myself, but I'll never tell fans they don't have a right
to
boo.
Well, Adam, what I was going to say is, I mean, you saw it last week with Trubisky and the weird, we got to shut the TVs off in the Hallis Hall, and Matt Nagy kind of, we know who we are. There seems to be this kind of, when they're losing, this is the first time we've seen a prolonged losing streak, and they won this game, but seeing that they're getting a little hostile with the critics and the media and the fans who expect more.
But I will say that it's not necessarily a bad thing if they're adopting an us against the world mentality. It's worked for a lot of teams in the past, you know, and it happens in the NFL all the time. I'm sure when Matt Nagy's brought up a couple times how the Chiefs started 1-5 a few years ago when he was, you know, still coaching in Kansas City, and they won the last 10 games of the season to get in the playoffs. So it can happen, and I'm sure when they did that, it was, you know, panic in Kansas City, and everybody was ripping them, and it probably became an us-against-the-world mentality for that team. So whether it's that actual reality, it doesn't really matter if they believe it and they respond to it.
I just, you know, Chicago, I think the fandom wears its heart on the sleeve. We don't want to see, you know, the worst kind of execution in a football game. But I hope the players and the Chicago Bears know, and as an organization, how important this fan base is, and how, you know, there is a reason. There could be other sports in town where we just don't go. You know, like the idea that they're booing because they went 3-and-out, and for the running back to score a touchdown, which he's supposed to do, and then for him to tell us to be quiet, I don't know. It's not a good look.
It's just a reminder of how far removed we are from that Bears 100 celebration in June.
Right.
Whenever it was like almost like a Super Bowl celebration before the season happened. And the excitement and the optimism were just so. Now we got Tariq Cohen shushing the fans in week 10. it's unfortunately been that type of year. There is still a small chance, and we can end this way.
Well, we're excited for victory. And you know what? If you win in Los Angeles against the Rams in a primetime game, it's a whole different narrative and a whole different conversation. Adam Hoge, the Chicago Bears insider for WGN, joins us every Monday for the Monday Evening Quarterback. Always great to talk to you, man.
All right, another fun one, Justin.